Welcome to the Word and Spirit Podcast with Reverend Randall Greer. Before we join Reverend Greer, let me tell you about our website. RandallGreer.org is filled with information that is sure to be a blessing to you, including free downloads of MP3s, videos, Bible studies, newsletters, and other materials. That address again is www.randallgreer.org. Greer is spelled G-R-I-E-R. Now, let's go to Reverend Greer.
Nothing works right. You can have a bad day most of the days. Things break, don't fix, don't work right, get stuck in the traffic jam. But it seems like you pray and start your day, and I mean, you know, everybody's day may start a little different according to what shift you work, but if you'll just start off with God, somehow you wind up with Him. Amen? He just stays with you all through the time. But in Acts chapter 1, I was in prison as a born-again Christian. I had not been filled with the baptism of the Holy Ghost with evidence of speaking in tongues. Remember, point two is being filled with the Holy Ghost. Yes, it's a continual process. You can get filled with the baptism of the Holy Ghost with the evidence of speaking in other tongues one time, but that's not where you stop at. You got to keep on wading in. In fact, being filled with the Holy Ghost with the evidence of speaking in other tongues is the doorway into all the rest of the gifts of the Spirit. And until you exercise this particular area of your life, you will never have any greater degree of manifestations of the gifts of the Spirit that are found in 1 Corinthians chapter 12 until you do, which is what word of wisdom, word of knowledge, discerning of spirits, a gift of special faith, the gift of healing, working of miracles. Of course, we're talking about the gift of tongues, interpretation of tongues, and prophecy. All of these gifts, there's nine gifts that's found in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. But the entranceway, the doorway into this is to first be filled with the Holy Ghost with the evidence of speaking in other tongues. Somebody said, well, Brother Randy, I thought I got the Holy Ghost when I got born again. Well, certainly you did. But what happened to you when you got born again is the Holy Ghost came into your life to make you a new creature in Christ Jesus. All things passed away and all things become new. You took on the nature of God because we had to ask. Adam's nature passed on to it because they were our early parents from back there. And when they slipped and fell and turned away from God, they lost the life of God that was in them. When you get born again, the Holy Ghost comes into your life. The Holy Spirit comes in and regenerates your human spirit. And now you are reconnected and reunited with God. Amen. But there's a subsequent experience to being born again. It's called the baptism of the Holy Ghost with evidence of speaking in other tongues. Amen. Is that all right? Amen. Amen. He told me to tone it up. Turn it up. Here we go. Turn it up. Amen. Turn it on. Amen. Glory to God. Thank you, Lord Jesus. We're going to turn to Acts chapter 1. And we're going to say some things about Acts chapter 1 here in just a minute. Where is that in here? My scholars, it said that he breathed on them. John chapter, we're finding it here. I'm looking at it. You talking about bringing the fish?
John 20:22.
I was close. 20:22. Yes. Turn to St. John. Before we go to Acts chapter 1, turn to St. John chapter 20. I was just inspired kind of to bring you and show you this. Because people wonder, is this true? Because they say once you're born again, you got all the Holy Ghost you'll ever have or ever need. But that's not. And we're going to show you right here where the disciples, the same ones that spoke with other tongues in Acts chapter 1, actually in Acts chapter 2, the Lord told them what to do in Acts chapter 1, and they received the Holy Ghost in Acts chapter 2. You're going to see here where they received the Holy Spirit, they were born again. Right here in John chapter 20, these same people. That was with him. There's some of these same people were born again. Said, how do you know? Because Jesus said so right here. In St. John chapter 20, verse number 21, says, then said Jesus to them again, says, peace be unto you. As my Father hath sent me, even so send I you. And when he had said this, he breathed on them and saith unto them, receive ye the Holy Ghost. What happened to them? They got born again. Why? Because they believed that Jesus was the Messiah. This is after he had risen from the dead and he had appeared to them. They realized this was Jesus. What is a prerequisite to salvation? You got to believe that Jesus Christ rose from the dead. And you've got to confess Him with your mouth that He is Lord. If they hadn't done that, if you read back up in St. John chapter 20, that's a homework assignment for you, you'll find out that they already believed that Jesus was the Messiah, that He was the Lord God manifest in the flesh, and He breathed on them and said, "Receive ye the Holy Ghost." When you receive the Holy Spirit, what was that for? For regeneration of their human spirit, they became born again. Why? Because they believed on the Lord Jesus Christ. But these same disciples, these same apostles, were given instructions by the Lord Jesus Christ in Acts chapter 1 after this experience. Okay? Amen. All right, let's turn to Acts chapter 1 and see what he says. Well, how do you know this? Well, this is where the Holy Ghost, this is the way he taught me in prison. I was not filled with the baptism of the Holy Ghost. I read this. What I started reading was Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And that's how I started reading and studying after I got back to prison, studying these things to find out what Jesus did and what the Bible said. In Acts chapter 1, verse 1 says, "The former treaty have I made, O Theophilus, of all that Jesus began both to do and teach, until the day in which he was taken up, after he through the Holy Ghost had given commandments unto the apostles whom he had chosen." Well, he's already appeared to him. He's already showed himself to him. Said, how do you know? He's already breathed on him and said, "Receive ye the Holy Ghost." Some of these same apostles, he breathed on him. But look what he tells them in verse 3. "To whom also he showed himself alive by his passion, by many infallible proofs." One of those was just the experience we read about in St. John chapter 20. "Being seen of them 40 days. He stayed on the earth 40 days and speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God." Verse 4, notice this. "And being assembled together with them, commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which saith he, you have heard of me. For John truly baptized with water, says, but you should be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence." He told them, don't leave, don't go anywhere. You need to be baptized with the Holy Ghost. Now, this is the same people that he breathed on, some of the same people. Not all of them were in the same place when he breathed on them, but a lot of these same people that were there when he breathed on them and said, "Receive ye the Holy Ghost," these same people he said, "Tarry until you be endued with power from on high." Amen. Said, how do you know? Verse number 8 tells us what happens when the Holy Ghost comes on us. He said, "But you shall receive power," which means supernatural, miracle-working abilities you could never possess within yourself without the baptism of the Holy Ghost. That's what that means. "You shall receive this power after that you, the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and to the uttermost part of the earth." And then, of course, a cloud was received him out of their sight. Well, we know they sought God because they went back and returned in verse number 12. It says, "Then returned they unto Jerusalem from the mount called Olivet," which is from Jerusalem, a seventh day's journey, which is about 3/4 of a mile. Seventh day's journey is about 3/4 of a mile. In fact, I was there on this Mount of Olives. I looked at the place where they was. I went to the place that tradition holds that was the upper room. I saw it. It was about 3/4 of a mile. You got to go down a little valley and then go up to the other side. You've been over there. You've seen it. And from the Mount of Olives, about 3/4 of a mile. That's the seventh day's journey. That's what they were allowed by their law at that time to walk. But he said they returned to Jerusalem from the Mount of Olives, is what it's actually called today, which is from Jerusalem, a seventh day's journey. And then they were come in, they went into an upper room. And it talks about what they did. Verse 14, let's skip down there. "These all continued with one accord in prayer and supplication." What were they doing? They were seeking God for this experience because Jesus said, wait. Well, up till the time that the Holy Ghost was poured out, it was scriptural to wait and tarry and seek God and ask Him to give you the Holy Ghost. But He was poured out in Acts chapter 2, so you don't have to ask Him in one sense of speaking or seek Him in one sense of speaking for the baptism of the Holy Ghost anymore. Why? Because He's already been given. It's up to me now to recognize that the Holy Ghost has been given and I have got to receive Him into my life. Well, that's where I'm at. I'm in this dilemma in prison. I'm realizing I need to be being filled with the Holy Ghost. That's what God is saying from heaven to the church today and saying to me today. Not just one experience, but have continual experiences. I've been filled to overflowing with the Holy Ghost. And in Acts chapter 2, verse 1, when it took place. It says, when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place, and suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting, and there appeared to them cloven tongues like as of fire, and it set upon each of them, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. So we see here the same people that he breathed on and said, receive ye the Holy Ghost in John chapter 20. Some of the same apostles right here, they had a subsequent separate experience from that experience in John chapter 20. And what happened to them? They were filled to overflow with the Holy Ghost, and they began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit of God gave them utterance. What happened? They were put into a dimension of the Spirit that you cannot go with your educational ability. Well, let me tell you about my experience. When I got to studying, I then got through Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. When I got down to Acts chapter 1, I got stuck right there. Because Jesus commanded them here to wait and be filled with the Holy Ghost. Notice this, in Acts chapter 1, verse 4, being assembled together with them, commanded them. Now, command, and me growing up in a military town, Fort Benning military base is in Columbus, Georgia, because now I live in Oklahoma. But a command is an order. It's not if you want to or not. You do it or else. That's what you do. Being assembled together with them, commanded them they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which saith he, you have heard of me. He commanded them. So when I got to this verse, I realized, and I'd come up in old time Pentecost, and I'd seen a lot of things back there, but I'd been so far away from that for so long that I'd forgotten about the Holy Ghost. You know, I'd tell you the truth about it. And then we had chapel services there in the prison when I was being transferred to different places and coming back in. And me just being, you know, a baby in the Lord. Not that I'm full grown now, you know, around the middle I may be, but not in the Lord. You know what I mean? Full grown, in one sense of speaking. But I remember we had people that come in there that said, you know, in the chapel services, that speaking in tongues was of the devil. I mean, that's exactly what they preached. They preach to us, if you speak in tongues, you are of the devil. But just something in me would not let me receive that. Now, I'm not saying that people could not say and babble and do all kinds of stuff under demon powers. But I realized that this experience, it was in the Bible. I had Bible scriptural evidence that they spoke in tongues. And this is not the only place. If you read through on out Acts, and we're not going to take time to cover all that, you'll find out that when anybody was filled with the Holy Ghost, they always spoke in other tongues. I encourage you, just don't take my word for it. Do a Bible study yourself. Or go into Common New Life Bible Institute. And I'll guarantee you, you will learn about that in depth, more in depth than probably I know. But just get in there. Don't make me sign you up. Amen. Give me the paperwork. But get in there. Sign up. Get involved in it. Because I'm here to tell you, you're going to learn something. You'll get so excited going to Bible school, and you'll learn so much, you'll just feel like you're flying. You probably won't even need a car. You'll be like Elijah. You'll gird yourself up and run in the Spirit and outrun the chariots. Now they got cars, but you'll outrun the cars, you know. But the Holy Ghost comes on you, because you'll be encouraged and you'll be strengthened. But I remember when I got to Acts chapter 1, verse 4, I just got stuck. I mean, I read on down through there a little bit. But I realized, even though I'd heard so much, that speaking in tongues is of the devil, especially in the prison chapels. And I tell you the truth about it, one of the biggest problems that I had in prison. Do you want me to tell you the whole truth? Nothing but the truth will help you, God. Yeah. All right, I'll tell you. One of the biggest problems I had was going to the chapel services, because you had so many different groups, and I went to every one of them. But buddy, it made me study the scriptures, because some of them would preach, come in speaking, you know, speaking in tongues is of the devil. Some of them would come in, if you're not baptized in the Holy Ghost, you can't go to heaven. I had Uncle Smut, y'all remember him?
Yeah.
Uncle Smut, Uncle James Greer, he believed, that's my daddy's oldest brother. Of course, now he done found out the more perfect way, because he done went to heaven, because God forgive him in his ignorance. He believed that if you didn't speak in tongues, you could not go to heaven. Some of them old-timers were that way.
Wow. Yeah.
They were. Some of them old-timers believed that if you did not speak in other tongues, you could not go to heaven. And that's the way Uncle Smut was.
Right.
Uncle James was his name, but everybody called him Uncle Smut. He was just the smuttiest fellow you'd ever want to meet. But anyway, you know, and these people would come in preaching this, and then one would come in preaching, if you're not baptized in the name of Jesus only, then you can't go to heaven. And then the other one comes in and says, if you have any musical instruments in the church, you're the devil. I mean, just, now you're laughing. I'm just telling you. And you talk about these poor old convicts. and they just trying to discover who God is, and you got all these confused folks that claim they're supposed to know the way, and they're getting further confused. Whew. So it was a dilemma. It made me study. It made me search the scriptures, because I wasn't going to do anything in one sense just because some folks said it. Why? Because I had in the past and found out later I was in error. So I'd just get in the scriptures. Amen. And I'd study them for myself. Yeah. And not to be rebellious, but to make sure that what they was telling me is in the Bible. Yeah. And if it wasn't in the Bible, I didn't accept it. Amen. In fact, I was still getting letters from different church groups that came to the prison I was at that told me I was going to hell because I didn't do certain things that they said I was supposed to do while I was in prison. That's a good Christian for you. You're going to hell. You know, and I attended every service. And I was a pastor in the inmate church. You know, that's bad. But I remember in Acts chapter 1, verse 4, I couldn't get past this experience.
Thank you for joining us for the Word and Spirit podcast. I just want to take a moment to tell you about two of Reverend Greer's products available on our website. First is his personal testimony, Escape from Hell, which details the events that led up to him miraculously being released from prison, receiving a full pardon with the right to own a firearm, and stepping into his calling of God. This is available as a book, CD, or DVD format. Second is Reverend Greer's second book, How to Change Your Life. This book will show you how to bring permanent change in your life through the power of God. And once you've changed, change will bring success. These products, as well as many more, can be found on our online store at www.randallgreer.org or by writing us at Randall Greer Ministries, P.O. Box 140516, Broken Arrow, Oklahoma 74014. Thanks for joining us for the Word and Spirit podcast with Reverend Randall Greer. Join us here next time as Reverend Greer brings forth the Word of God in Word and Spirit. And remember, God is with us.